This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "Well, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, we're still on chapter 6 of the Gospel of St. John. Next week we're back in the Gospel of St. Mark, but even so, let's take a look at today's passage. Verse 56 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." We have to remember that when we come to the altar, we're coming again to take Jesus to ourselves and to walk with him. Jesus talks about abiding in him. What this means is more than some abstract idea of walking with Jesus. It's a spiritual reality that means we walk with him in the everyday moments of our lives. Now, I know perfectly well that when a lot of people wake up in the morning, their first thought is, "Oh, rats, I have to get up and go to work." Or, "I have so much to do today, what am I going to do first?" About the, "Oh, rats, I have to go to work," it's really hard to get up every day and get ready to go to work. And even for those of us who love what we do, there's the simple reality of it being every day. It gets hard to do it every day. It takes a toll. I'm certain that it's even harder and worse, if you will, when we don't like our jobs. There's almost a sense of dread because we still have to get up and face another day. On the other side, how many of us wake up every day, spring out of bed and say, "Jesus, I give this day to you. I want to serve you this day with everything that I do." There are many days that are like that for me, kind of. But as I said, it's tougher when you have to keep going and going and going. Still, and it may sound pretty unrealistic, but it's possible for a real disciple of Jesus to live the way I just described it. You know, "Great Lord, I get to serve you today. Amen. Hallelujah." Further, this is probably what Jesus means by abiding in him. We learn to walk with him and put him first every day. And so this kind of looks like this deal of, "Jesus, what do I do today? What do you have for me today? What would you like for me to do while I'm at work today?" Now, this is kind of what Joshua meant in the Bible study last Sunday. Do we go to Jesus first every day? Do we go to Jesus first when we're in a tight spot? When we're in a tight pinch, do we breathe the prayer and say, "Jesus, tell me what to do"? Or, "Jesus, please, Lord, give me the right words to say." This is putting Jesus first and learning to abide in Him. It's a mindset, if you will. Verse 57 is a salvation and eternal life verse, of course. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Don't misunderstand the words here. I live because of the Father. Here, Jesus simply means that in his earthly sojourn, his first goal is to fulfill the Father's ultimate mission of redemption. It's not some weird mystical thing. And the rest of the verse is simply a promise that if we know Jesus, and if we feed on Him, in body and blood, as well as living fellowship, we'll have eternal life. Now, verse 65 says, and it's a repeat of verse 44, and He said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." This is a verse which Reformed theology teaches us that the Father draws us to Jesus. And no one can come to Jesus unless he or she is drawn to him. And here's the reason why this verse is the truth. Well, there are two reasons, actually. The first one is because Jesus said it. And the second is that, folks, most of us are so mired in our own thoughts, in our own ways, and our sin, too, that unless the Lord intervened and said, "All right, that's enough, you're coming with me today," no one would come to him. How many of us ever remember waking up one day and saying, "Well, today I'm going to get saved"? Anybody remember doing that? Now, if you did wake up with a yearning in your heart for the Lord, it's because God Himself put it there. He said, "You're mine, and today there's no more messing around. Today I'm going to make sure you choose to follow my son Jesus." And we need to be glad for that. Why? Well, because without the Lord's intervention, we would still be chasing illusions or doing whatever. We would still be after our own fleshly desires. We would still be merrily on our way to a fiery eternity. And I think I've quoted this before, but as Adrian Rogers, the preacher who's gone home to be with Jesus, used to say, if anyone could outrun Jesus, no one would be saved. In our flesh, we recoil at that because we want to believe we were so wonderful and so inclined to the good that it was our choice to get saved. But Scripture doesn't bear out that notion, actually. Do you want to know what I believe could be the saddest verse in the Bible? Somewhere close to the place where the rich young ruler wanders away because he had lots of money. Probably the saddest verse in the Bible is verse 66, which reads, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." To what place and where did they go back? Well, it was probably to their homes, to their jobs, careers, or families. They likely went back to what was familiar. They were uncomfortable with Jesus's all-or-nothing challenge. Now, verses 68 and 69 say, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Truer words have never been spoken. Jesus is it. He's the only way. And I know that we all know this, but how many times have we been able to speak up in a group or a crowd or to an audience and say that very same thing? I'm not saying this pridefully because, you know, I know that sometimes I have done that, but I'm saying this because I know that every one of us have been in a situation where we should have said something, but hesitated to do so because we were afraid of ridicule or of some other reprisal. Of course, Peter was on safe grounds because he was with Jesus and the remaining disciples, regardless of how many of the other followers had left him by that time. But for us, let's also examine ourselves to see if we have come to the complete faith and assurance that Peter had. Do we really believe Peter's words? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do we really believe that, or are some of us maybe holding back, hoping to get a better deal somewhere else? If that weren't enough, Peter added, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, we have to live in the assurance that what Peter confessed is the truth, the whole truth, and as this old saying goes, and nothing but the truth. Let's live in the reality that we know that Jesus is Lord and that he will return one day. Further, that at some point in time, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us also resolve that we're going to allow the love of Jesus to fill us so full as we've partaken of the body and blood and read in his word and worshiped that his love for others will penetrate our hearts. When this happens, we'll see others as Jesus sees them. We won't see an annoying co-worker, although that may be difficult. We will see, instead of an annoying co-worker, a lost soul for whom Jesus died. We won't see a slow driver on the road who must have been sent just to aggravate us. We'll see a lost soul for whom Jesus died. We won't see a homeless person, or we won't look at those people on the corner with a sign saying, please help, I'm homeless, and say, I'll bet you they're conning us. We'll see a lost soul for whom Jesus died. We'll pray for those people and pray for opportunities to witness to them, even to the annoying co-worker or the aggressive, obnoxious boss. But we'll be praying for them if we see them the way Jesus sees them. We see the outside. Jesus looks at the heart, and he knows what's really going on and what's making those people tick. And folks, it's because what Peter said is true that we can actually do this and come to the place where we can believe and know that those people who annoy us are people for whom Jesus died, because what Peter said is true. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We can walk like that. We can walk in that assurance. And folks, this day I want to encourage all of us, each one of us, to live like we believe that and to live it in our lives and to live it out daily, if need be, minute by minute, second by second, if we have to break it down that much to keep our focus. So let's live that way and let's rejoice in it. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.